I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Shams Charania is one of the best newsbreakers in our business. I had the pleasure of working with him a little bit over his stadium network. This guy is incredible. You talk about a guy that's connected around the NBA. I'm lucky to have him right now joining me on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from out in Melrose Park. You can check out Shams at watchstadium.com, and I'm happy to have him here on the show. What's up, man?
Lawrence, what's going on, man? I'm glad that we're finally able to talk shop since all this kind of unfolded. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing really good. I'm glad that we could connect because, hey, you know how I feel about you. You are on it. I know that when it comes to what's happening in the NBA, you were getting texts and calls on the daily. So I'd love to know, where do things stand right now with the NBA trying to figure out how to restart?
Yeah, so, I mean, they're trying to figure this out. They clearly, there's a strong desire among owners, star players, executives, the majority of all of them, the league office, Adam Silver's made it clear. They want to restart the season. And so now it's about figuring out the logistical details, when, where, and how. The when being, is it going to be mid-July that we can resume play? How will it be? Will it be a training camp of some sort? In the market, and then you go to the bubble site, and then where, you know, and as I reported this week, Orlando's Walt Disney World has become the front runner, the clear destination for the NBA to resume its season amid this pandemic that we're in. As I reported this week, the NBA is in serious conversations with Disney about the property, and a clear momentum has gained for the NBA to have its resumption of the season there, at some point around mid-July. And, all the efforts are going to need to be put in over the next few weeks because, Lawrence, it's not as simple as, you know, this is when we want it to happen. You have to shore up coronavirus testing protocols. You have to shore up your relationship with the NBPA. You're not going to be playing without fans. So that revenue loss, how will you make up for that? How will you deal with no fans? How will you deal with the playing environment? How will the bubble environment be? There's a lot of logistical details that the NBA still needs to map out.
Shams, for people who don't know, why is Orlando and the Disney property such an attractive place for the NBA to restart?
So, you know, the relationship with Disney obviously is there, but beyond that, the closed-off environment that Disney World can provide, the resort can provide, in that, you know, they have the necessary complexes for gyms, for working out, the hotel, the restaurants, to have a very controlled environment for something like this. And if you want to be safe, which Adam Silver has made clear, his ultimate concern is just the safety and picking, you know, the best scenario out of a bunch of bad options, essentially what we're doing right now, because whatever the NBA decides on, there will be a level of risk. And so everyone needs to be comfortable with that. But listen, out of Las Vegas, out of Houston, potentially, you know, the NBA views Orlando as the safest, most controlled option for all the teams to play out of. And, you know, some have said an AU environment. I really call it, you know, like a whole, you know, I think Mark Cuban said it best, a Hotel California environment where you try to keep everyone, you know, in one setting as much as possible and play out until the last team standing you know, takes home the trophy.
Are you thinking that they go straight to the playoffs, or is there still talk of maybe a regular season restarting?
They're still working on those details, but from my conversations with team executives, players, there's a sense that they all want there to be some form of a regular season, some form of a, you know, whether it's a play-in, an exhibition season, they want something before you go into a playoff, because just having a quick training camp, a quarantine training camp, and then going into a playoff, that makes it tough for everyone. So to have some basis of an exhibition run or a regular season is the preferred route of a lot of executives, players, owners that I speak to.
When do you think that we'll have a decision one way or the other? Are we a few weeks away? Are we a couple weeks away?
So Adam Silver told owners last Tuesday that he wanted to make a final decision on the season in 2 to 4 weeks. So we're, you know, by next week, we're going to pass the 2 week mark. There is a board of governors call late next week. So I would expect there to be some movement toward a decision into next week. And at some point, you know, next week will mark the 2 week mark. Could it go into June, first, second week of June? Sure. You know, but Adam Silver gave a 2 to 4 week window last week.
Sean Charania is one of the premier newsbreakers in our business when it comes to the NBA. He works at Stadium Network. You can see some of his great work at watchstadium.com. I've been having a lot of discussions about this week with a bunch of different guests, and I'd love to get your opinion on it, Shams. I've been talking about the relationship that the players have with Adam Silver and ownership in the NBA versus what we're seeing, kind of some battle lines being drawn in MLB between those players and their ownership and their commissioner, Rob Manfred. Why do you think there's a different tone when the players talk about Adam Silver in the NBA versus how MLB players feel about their commissioner?
I would say the two most important things are transparency and inclusion. Adam Silver has tried his best to form committees and have, you know, the players informed as he, you know, he is, you know, coming up with different ideas. He had a very lengthy, you know, 70-minute long conversation with most of the NBA players earlier this month, and you just don't see commissioners getting on calls with all their players and speaking to them with as much candidacy and just transparency, you know, that Adam Silver displayed. And so I think that's what gives him some bonus points, some brownie points with the players. But, you know, he's always taken more of a player friendly approach as commissioner. And at the end of the day, he does report to the owners. He does have an onus to deliver for the owners. But he has had the lines of communication probably as open as they've ever been in the NBA.
So let me move to something that's a little less heavy. What did you think of The Last Dance?
No, it was great, reliving, you know, a point where I wasn't fully, you know, grown enough to be cognizant of what's going on in the moment. But it was tremendous to see all the old footage and being able to live what happened, you know, 20 plus years ago.
Yeah, I was thinking about you with that because I'm like, you're a young cat. So I'm curious, like, what did you take away from it that you talked to tons of people in the and around the NBA, but what was it like for you to experience it and see some of this stuff of how the NBA used to be versus what it is now?
I think just the mere fact that Michael Jordan, every single, you know, episode, I think just continued to ingrain and elevate how much of a killer he was on the court and how he wanted to win at no cost. It's like every episode had at least one or two anecdotes of why MJ was a killer, why he was the GOAT, why he wanted it so bad. And I think, you know, over the course of 10 episodes, it just continues to, you know, that theme continues to hit home at you. And, you know, everything he was taken personally when he wanted it to be. Everything was taken as a slight when he needed motivation. And so I think players, you know, when I'm texting with players, like, they just marvel at that. And I think that they want to absorb some of that and apply it. And it's like every time I finished with an episode, I wanted to go play basketball. I'm like, I want to be, you know, holding a basketball. I wanted to shoot. Like, I wanted to be, you know, involved in some competitive activity.
I was wondering what the players were saying to you while this was going on, like what that dialogue was like. Were they impressed? Were they scared? Like how did it make them feel?
I think basically just ingraining in the mind as well that like Michael Jordan, these are the reasons why Michael Jordan was the GOAT, and these are the episodes that are you know, this is the type of television that proves it. And so it'll obviously live on. You can watch on Netflix, wherever. And like, I think it just continued to, you know, it was funny. You know, a lot of people, these are life memories that people went through, but to see it go on, you know, the way it was edited and put together, I think it showed, again, why Michael Jordan is one of the greatest of all time.
What have people around the league told you this morning about Jerry Sloan?
Yeah, you know, obviously it's saddening. It's heartbreaking. And Adam Silver just put out, you know, a very long release statement talking about Jerry Sloan and just how respected and how admired he was among the coaching community and, you know, players, his former players, you know, Paul Millsap. You know, he had great respect for him early. And, you know, Jerry Sloan never got over the hump as, you know, as a champion, you know, as far as in those 90s runs with the Bulls that showed on The Last Dance, but clearly just a legendary head coach, one of the best ever.
Shams, I appreciate the time, man. I know you're, even now, I know that you're busy. I know that people are blowing you up and giving you all the latest stuff. So thank you so much for being on the show. Let's do this again soon.
Lawrence, I appreciate you, man. Be safe, be healthy. Thank you.
That's Shams Charania from Stadium. That guy, man, I was checking today. Like, it was just a couple years ago that Shams was a student at Loyola. And now he's got almost 800,000 followers on Twitter because that kid breaks news. So I'm really happy to see that his career continues to ascend. He's one of the good guys, and he works his ass off. So I'm glad he had some time for my show, man. I try not to push that button too often to put the Sham signal out. But I'm glad that he had a couple minutes to come and hang out with us.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.